Good morning to you. Glad that you're here. Hope you had a blessed week and all that the weather allowed us to do this week. And I want to say quickly, just with the beautiful day that we've got today, you made it a priority to be in the house of the Lord today. So we're glad that you are with us. Are you okay, hon? Here, I'll help you, baby.
Here you go.
But it's good to be here with you today. Glad that you are with us. Today will be a standalone sermon. I don't do those very often. I like preaching in a series to where I know that what I'm going to be preaching over the next few weeks, it really helps in my sermon prep. And so there's this is just a standalone sermon, but it's one I feel that has been welled up within me from the I Am series that we just finished up. Again, I had plans for today, but time just did not allow me to do what I planned on doing this week. So this is not a last minute thing, but like I say, it's something I think had been welled up from the series. So we're going to look at the 23rd Psalm this morning, the 23rd Psalm. It's a very familiar passage for us, and it is a good passage, and I told Miss Nancy we won't be very long this morning. We can look at the very first line of the Psalm 23rd and call it a day, because there's a lot in the very first line, but we will look at all of it. We will look at all of it. But it's a very powerful psalm that David writes for us. I say it's a familiar psalm because we've all heard it. We've all seen it hanging on a wall. We've all read through it ourselves. It's so popular that you see various things with it, just certain lines of it. You hear it in all genres of music. You've heard it in country music, rock, even rap music have something to do with the 23rd Psalm. Every now and then, it'll just pop up out of nowhere. But the thing we hear it the most is at funeral services. A lot of your funeral services will have the 23rd Psalm. And for good reason. It's a very comforting psalm. And I feel like we need to on the heels of our I Am series, we can see that there's a great comfort that comes from knowing that God is our shepherd. And we're going to see a little bit more of what all that has to deal with. And I don't know about you, but for me, it's good to just stop. Hit that pause button every now and then and say, you know, God, I believe you. I trust you. And just let him just wash over me. Just renew my spirit. Just fulfill my joy. And sometimes we get into our study so much that we get caught up in an anxious way of trying to live life accordingly. And sometimes he's already chose us, and he's already our God. He's already our shepherd. Now let's just rejoice in that here this morning. So today's going to be one of those days that I'm going to do for you. Next week, we are going to start a new series. But today, like I say, it is the 23rd Psalm. I'm going to read that for us, and then we're going to dive into it. And then, like I say, we'll probably be out of here before 12 o'clock, even with the business meeting, okay? But don't hold me to it. We'll just see what God does by the Holy Spirit this morning, okay? And by the way, thank you for the prayers, because I need them today. I really, really need them today. So thank you for everybody that's prayed for me this morning, and continue to do so. But then here we go. Psalm 20. So Nancy, you can start your clock now. Ready? All right, here we go. The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through a valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, we come before you just thanking you for being God. Thank you for allowing us to know you and be in relationship with you. Thank you for loving us, even as sheep. Thank you for caring for us and protecting us and providing for us in ways in which we don't even know we need. But you know. You know best. And Lord, we pray that this morning that we're encouraged, that we're joyful, that we're reminded of the true blessings that come from being in relationship with you and having you as Lord and Shepherd of our lives. As we look at this text, Lord, I bow before you humbly now, praying with great earnest that by your Holy Spirit, you and you alone will speak through your word here this morning. May it do as you have set it out to do in each heart and mind here this morning, for your glory, for the expansion of your kingdom, and for the worship of your name, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to, as we do on Wednesday night, we're going to word by word, not just verse by verse. We're going to word by word look at this 23rd Psalm, and we'll keep going because it's such a familiar Psalm. We all know it. But what I want to do is just remind us. I want to encourage us. I want to strengthen us in our faith, strengthen us in our joy, and fulfill us in our wants and needs and dependence upon who God really is. So he says, first, the Lord. That's key. That's crucial. In all things, in all of our life, in all that we could even dream of needing or wanting or understanding about life, when God is Lord, then everything else is going to fall in place. Amen? When God is Lord, when we realize who God really is, when it is Him and Him alone, we have a satisfaction that cannot be given in any other way. So when God is Lord, when we realize that we are nothing, we are sinners, and as sinners we are separated from God, which makes us nothing, that through Christ, through faith in Him and His great ability, in his deity, in His equality with God that we've been looking at, that He can accomplish everything because of who He is. Our dependence upon Him, our trust in Him, our devotion to Him allows us to say that now everything we have, God gave it to us, for it's a gift, right? All of our abilities, skills, intelligence, all the things that we have was a gift from us. And what we're lacking, don't He supply. Whatever we're lacking, doesn't He supply? So Him as Lord, when we realize who we are, when we realize the deficiency in ourselves, and whatever good there is, we have to realize that it is from Him, He becomes Lord. He is Lord of our lives. He is King. He has full authority. He has the CEO, the CFO, whatever. But He is Lord and King. He has full control of our lives when we fall through submission to Him as that Lord and King of our lives. So it has to start there. And we know this about David. David has always been sold out. He's been 100% committed to being a servant, a follower of God Almighty. He, throughout his entire life, has acknowledged that God has given him everything. Amen? You see that throughout his life. And Paul's the same way. When Paul meets Jesus on that road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, from that point on, Paul is 100% sold out on Jesus Christ. Everything he writes, everything he does, when you read the book of Philippians, it says that even the jailers are being converted because they can't get away from him. That's all he ever talks about, is Jesus Christ. That's when God is Lord of your life. he becomes everything to everybody else. Because it identifies you. And this is what how Jesus is Lord of our lives. And David is saying here that God is Lord. Everything I am is because of who God is. And everything I'm not, God's going to be. Just for his name's sake, if we're getting ready to see. So the Lord is my shepherd. And we can see this, and we looked at it so briefly, I would just touch on it. In John 10, it talks about Jesus being the good shepherd and what all that entailed, and showing that they provide, they protect. Remember that they built the sheep pen and they watched each one. They inspected each one as they led it in. They called their sheep and the sheep knew their voice and they followed their shepherd. And the shepherd was inspecting each one of its sheep. It would lead it out into the pastures. It knew where the good food was. It knew where the still waters were. It did whatever it could to do what was best for that sheep so it could grow and be taken care of. And then when the time come, if necessary, would lay down his life for a sheep. John chapter 10, verse 11. A good shepherd will lay down his life for a sheep. And we know that happened through Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. Think about those words. The Lord, Jesus Christ, is my shepherd. Are we following? See, well, I can say amen, we can go home, right? Come on. Think about it. Ask yourself a question. And the answer to that question determines on how the rest of this sermon is going to go. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, we're going to mess up. We're going to be wandering sheep. And we're getting ready to see that the staff and a rod is going to come into play here for every one of us. But can we honestly stop right now and say that the Lord is my shepherd? I shall not want. Now what he's saying here is that he's satisfied in the Lord. He's satisfied with what all the shepherd has given him. Yeah, we can look down the street and see a nicer house, or we can see someone's got maybe a little bit better job, or someone has whatever. But know that that's what God gave them. What has God given you? Yeah, I would like for have some things maybe a little nicer in my truck, and maybe the way my job goes sometimes or whatever. But I feel very confident. I feel very content that I have everything God intended me to have. And anything else I need, I feel that God's going to get it. And then, this is the kicker. If I had everything else, I'd probably mess it up. If I had a better job, I would just blow that money and waste it and not bring him glory with it. If I had whatever, he gave me what I need in order for me to be the best example for him. This is when God is our Lord, when he is our shepherd. He's leading us and providing for us. We're getting what we get because that's what's best for us. That's his plan for us. I shall not want. I am content with who I am in the Lord. But the bigger question is, are you content with Jesus being Lord? If we really look at it closely, I need Jesus, but I also need a nice retirement. I need Jesus, but I need a happy family. I need Jesus, but I need to go on vacation. Does Jesus completely satisfy you? This is what David's saying. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't want anything else. I can take other things. God's going to do other things in my life, but I don't want anything else. If I don't have God, I don't want anything else. It goes back to the question that John Piper asked. A phenomenal question. If God wasn't in heaven, would you still want to go? And for me, the answer to that question is, I want to go wherever God is. It's about God. It's about Jesus Christ. He is my shepherd. He is my Lord. And I am satisfied in Him. So wherever He is where I want to be. Be under His flow. Be under the lavishness of God and His love for us. In verse 2, again, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. In this section here, we're getting this picture of the herd being guided and led out. And He says He's taking you to green pastures. It's lavish. You've got plenty to eat. You've got things that are just surrounding you that's going to make you happy. You're going to be able to just flourish as much as you can in these green pastures. These still waters, if you think about a sheep, I see Tom and Susan aren't with us this morning, but Tom, he had a sheep. He talked about how stupid it was and how much trouble it caused him and everything. And the wool grows so thick on them, it's kind of like you've ever tried to go swimming with all your clothes on. It's hard, isn't it? Think about a sheep with all the wool on it getting in the water. It can't get back out. It's so thick, it's so heavy. So they have to lead them around specific waters so that if they were to fall in the creek, if they were to fall in through the banks or whatever, they wouldn't drown and he wouldn't lose a sheep. So it's important that the shepherd leads them in the right ways in order to take them to the right place to properly care for them. So he knows where he's going. He takes them in these places to where they need to do the best possible. He leads in paths of righteousness. And it just goes without saying, this is our path to righteousness. Our faith in Jesus Christ and obeying His word leads us to paths of righteousness. I won't belabor that point too much. But he says, for His name's sake. And we talked about this a little bit last week. I think it was last week where God said, whenever the Israel wasn't doing everything they were commanded to do, and the other countries and other nationalities were beginning to make fun of them, God would say, for my name's sake, I am going to do these things. God's not going to let His name be defamed. Listen how the psalmist writes it. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Just listen to Psalm 25, verse 11. For Your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it's great. Cleanse me of my sins. Cleanse me of my guilt so I can bring fame to Your name by the way that I live. Right? Listen to Psalm 31, verse 3. Maybe. There we go. Psalm 31. For You are my rock and my fortress, and for Your name's sake, You lead me and guide me. Trust in the Lord. Trust in His righteousness. Trust that He's leading you where you need to go. But sometimes we really don't want to go, do we? Because when we get into verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. So we're all going to go through difficult things, aren't we? We're going to go through things that are going to challenge us. They're going to scare us. Yeah. Taking that new job may be fearful. Going back to the doctor may be fearful. Making a drastic change in your life may be fearful. We're going to walk through valleys. We're going to be in the low places. And they're scary. What's David talking about right here? In those valleys, in those low places, that's where the evil things would hide. So as the shepherd had to get his sheep from one green pasture to the next in order to continue to grow their flocks, they may have to walk through a valley. But the shepherd knew where those wolves would be hiding. Here comes a flock of sheep. This edge may be too steep and they may fall off of this cliff going this way. And wherever he would lead them, he took them in the safest route to get from point A to point B. Even though we may be walking close to that valley, we may be going through dark stuff, it says what? I will be with you. The shepherd never lost his sheep. He never left them. He knew where they were at. They could be scattered out eating, but he knew them. He knew where they were at. He had an eye on them. Even though when you may feel like you're alone, even though when you think God might be busy doing something else, he knows exactly what's going on with you. He knows exactly what's happening in your life. And that's part of our faith. This is a God that we can trust in. And that moment you think that you are alone, God shows up. If you will, by faith, hit your knees and say, God, where are you? God, help me. God will show up. That's our God. That's our shepherd. He doesn't leave in the valley all the time, does he? Sometimes we may hit that valley and never come out of it. That's what he's talking about, this shadow of the valley of death. When we enter that valley and we go into that dark place, death can scare us. Because we don't know. We don't know anything but life, right? We don't know what death is going to be like. We don't know how it's going to work out for us. And this is where he's saying, I'll always be with you. This is the assurance we have in our salvation. This is how we can look forward to that day. That no matter what happens, no matter how it is, no matter the circumstances that lead to it, if we trust in the Lord, we have no fear of death. Because he is with us. He's already walked through that valley. He's already paved the way. He knows where the dangers are. He knows what to look out for. And he's already overcome death. I don't know if y'all remember that, but just a few weeks ago we had Easter. And I don't know about you, but I take great joy in knowing that my Jesus walked out of that grave with the keys of death in his hand, saying, I have overcome. O death, where is your sting? He was a victor over death. Our faith tells us that no matter what we go through, even if it kills us, we've got a good shepherd that's got even greener pastures and even stiller waters and even greater peace and even greater joy waiting for us for an eternity with him. This is our good shepherd. So we're going to walk through these valleys. We're going to walk and have this fear because of the unknown. But he says, for you're with me. And this assurance is always there. We saw it in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Jesus, one of the last words he gave the disciples. And lo, I will be with you. Doesn't that help? I may go a little longer than what I said, Miss Nancy, but the illustration just hit me. Let me share. There's a kid who went to a park. And a little, the dad was with him, and the dad said, yeah, go play. And the little boy goes to the small slide, and he climbs up the slide, and just down he went four or five times. And he would look over, and he saw dad over talking to the other dads. And then all of a sudden, he climbs up, goes, and he saw the medium slide. He goes over there, and he hesitates a minute, and climbs up, and he gets on top of the slide, and sits there a second, and he looks over, and sees dad still over, just talking. Down he goes. Gets going farther and does that a few times. And he looks and there's the great big slide. And he goes over there to that great big slide and he's standing at the bottom. He looks up and it's so tall and he's scared to death. And he doesn't know what to do. So he starts up because that line's starting to form behind him. He starts up that ladder and he gets halfway up and he decides, I'm not going to. But the other kids have already started up behind him. What's he going to do now? Well, he gets to the very top. He goes on and climbs. He sits down and he looks down and that slide goes forever. And he's scared to death. He doesn't know what to do. And the other kids are yelling, come on, kid. Come on, kid, go. You're holding everything up. He looks over and dad's not there. And he turns and looks back. There's dad at the foot of the slide. When you're in the valley, when things are the worst, when you're fearful, There's Dad going to be at the bottom of the slide. He's already conquered every single thing you're ever going to fear. He's already conquered everything, even death itself. And all we got to do is know that no matter what, there he's going to be. That's our Jesus. I will be with you. He assures us. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, I want to say that this rod and the staff, that is, the shepherd had his staff, had the big hook on it. He walked with it like a walking stick. But just know that, you know, we've all rustled cattle before, right? You get a herd of them going, you want them to go a certain way, and you got one over here, and you shake your hand, and they'll turn for you, right? Most of the time, you can get them just showing the... Well, that's the same way the staff was. He would give it this and give it that, and he would be able to take the sheep and go through that valley or through that difficult place. He needed them all to go at one time in order for him to protect them. So he's got this rod and this staff, but sometimes those sheep wouldn't listen. He'd have to smite them in the head with it. Right? It just happens, right? Sometimes we got to get smacked in the head. Let's just be honest. Sometimes we got to get smacked in the head. God gets our attention, doesn't he? Stop that now. I saw that. And that hook on the end, if they don't listen, they get a little bit too far. They try to get off the path a little bit too far and they fall in the water. You could take that hook and pull them. If they got too deep in the cave, you could reach in there and pull them out between rocks and things like that. The shepherd was there to do whatever he could to protect. And even though you get off path, but let me just say, we don't like to be corrected, do we? I think it was last week we looked at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, where it says, God shows his love for us through the correction that he gives upon us. Folks, I want it to be clear and understood that we've got a God that loves us and does whatever necessary in order for us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Correction, rebuke is not fun, but we got to have it, don't we? That's what that rod is for. As we're walking along and we're following and we're satisfied in the Lord, we still get distracted by the world. And you got different scripture, you got songs on the radio, you got friends in your life, you got these total reminders all the time about who God is and his love for you, but we still chase after the world sometimes, don't we? All of a sudden, there comes the stick. He's going to get our attention, but amen for that. Amen for that. Come on, somebody give me an amen on that. Amen, amen that God continues to get our attention. Why? Because he hasn't given up on us. We're still fruit-bearing trees, aren't we? Amen?
Amen.
But the rod and the staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. The blessings cannot be stolen by our enemies. He prepares a table for us. He feeds us. He wines us. He dines us. He overly abundantly provides to us. And from the outside, it may look like excessiveness. From the outside to those, it may seem as if God is doing some great thing and they may get jealous of us. They try to steal our joy. All the blessings that God gives us, they try to steal it in various ways. Because of what we have. He's saying that that you prepare a table before me, even before my enemy. Our blessings cannot be stolen. If we trust in the Lord and keep him head first. My cup overflows. My dad used to always have this saying, I'm drinking from a saucer. How you doing, Roger? I'm drinking from a saucer. His cup was so full, it was overflowing into the saucer. He was drinking out of it before it come off the saucer. Guys, just be joyful in the Lord. Look at what he's given you. Look around you. Everybody in here loves you. Everybody to your left and your right loves you and is there for you. And that's not by mistake. That's not by mistake. That's God's design. You call any one of them anytime, they're going to be there for you. That's a blessing. That's a total blessing of God. Let that sink in. And then he closes it up. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's made good promises to us. God's a faithful God that has proven himself over and over and over again. You can trust him. He has not let us down. He has not broken a single promise to his people. And everything he says, he does. And when you read the 23rd Psalm, no matter how good life is or how bad life is right now, the message stays the same. If he is Lord, and you allow him to lead you as the good shepherd, he will give you everything you need, nothing more and nothing less. And he will never leave you and forsake you. And because he's always there, you're going to have an abundance. And it's going to make a difference even on your enemies. This is our good shepherd. He loves us that much. He spared no expense. When he left the comfort of heaven to take on flesh, live the life that we should have lived, but were unable to do so. And then when the time was right, gave himself as a sacrifice in our place. When the time was right, the shepherd laid down his life for a sheep. Leave here this morning. If you've got him as Lord and your shepherd, leave here today encouraged. Leave here today overjoyed because of who God is in your life. But if you don't know God, if he's never been Lord of your life, what are you waiting on? Don't you want that joy? Don't you want that peace? Don't you want that assurance that no matter what's going on in your life, you're going to have that? That's that one person that will always be there. This is our God. And if he's calling you today, we ask you, we beg you, come be a part of the flock of God. Heavenly Father, we do love you, we do thank you, we praise you, for you are that good and more. Words cannot express just how great you truly are. And as we try our best to share the goodness and greatness of who you are, Lord, we just can't. So we pray that by your Holy Spirit, that you can finish what you've already started in our lives. Lord, through your Holy Spirit, you can finish these things in each of our lives, Lord, and we trust you to do so. Even though we can't adequately express just how great you are, we know you can show us. And we pray that you continue to do that in each of our lives. Continue to show us, Lord. Remind us and encourage us over and over and over that as your sheep, we're in good hands. And we thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.